It's the Pirates Week for May 11th, 2008. Well, I am Ragnar Danisjold, and you have once again found the Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate radio community. Hey, we got a lot of pirate in the news stories this week, and we're also going to go through some relevant forum postings on the internet, including the Free Radio Network and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. We have a couple off-air recordings, the propagation forecast, and a couple closing thoughts from me. So stay tuned. It's the Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Well, before we get into the Pirates in the News segment, I do want to touch on a couple topics. First off, a correction from last week's show. I mentioned the book The Diamond Mind about Ontario's pirate radio stations of yesteryear. Well, it was pointed out to me that it was Ontario, California. You know, I should have caught that with all the stations in the story starting with the letter K, you know, KTXX, KHWA. It's kind of a giveaway there. And the fact that the story came from the San Gabriel Tribune doesn't really sound like a Ontario, Canada place, the San Gabriel. So that's Ontario, California. And I've always said, hey, I'm just a hack. I don't do due diligence, and I just cold read these stories off my various Google Reader RSS feeds. So, I do try to correct myself, and I do appreciate it when listeners write in to correct me. So, hey, thanks, Pat. Well, this next thing I'm not going to put in the news segment because that's pretty full this week. But if you're a gamer or interested in tech, then you're probably aware that GTA Grand Theft Auto 4 recently just came out. And, now there is a pirate radio station to listen to as you cruise Liberty City. GamerCast Network has launched the pirate radio station in the GTA game. I'll have a link to the show notes for you GTA fans. And, hey, like I said, we got a whole bunch of pirates in the news this week, so let's get right into it.
Pirates in the news.
Well, like I said, we have a bunch of news stories, and unfortunately, most of them are text bases, so I'm going to have to read all but one of them. Starting us off this week, Cracker pointed out this story that the FCC issuing $27,000 in piracy fines. The FCC has affirmed a $17,000 fine levied against Charles Clemens for operating a pirate radio station on 106.1 FM in Boston and for violating Section 303 of the Communications Act by failing to permit a station inspection. A notice of apparent liability was issued to Clemens in February, and the FCC says he did not file a response to the NAL or pay the proposed fine and therefore affirms the forfeiture. The FCC has also affirmed a $10,000 fine levied on Trevor Whitley for providing services and facilities incidental to the unlicensed transmission of communications by radio on the 103.3 FM frequency in Brooklyn, New York. The NAL was issued in January and, says the FCC, Whitley neither filed the response nor paid the fine, so it has affirmed the forfeiture. This story was on the Radio Inc. website, and of course, this link and all other links will be on the website www.piratesweek.info. Next up, from WFTV Channel 9 Television in California, comes a story of an active pirate in Orange County, California. Take a listen to, actually you can check out this video too on the website. Take a listen to WFTV's coverage of the California pirate.
It's hip-hop, it's hardcore, and it's illegal. Channel 9 uncovered an underground radio station with a strong signal that's broadcasting over the Orange County airwaves without a license. The people who operate the pirate radio station even advertise for it on the web. Some people say the radio station is great because it helps promote local artists. Others say they don't like all the profanity the underground DJs use, and they want the illegal station shut down.
For most people, it's what they like. Yeah. So I guess that's why they play it.
I don't want my children to hear stuff like that on the radio.
The FCC could issue fines that are typically around $10,000 for the operators of the station. The FCC would have to contact a law enforcement agency, though, to actually shut it down.
Well, taking a look around the internet, the pirate radio station that was described in that little piece from WFTV was Clientele Radio of East Orlando, and they have a MySpace page that, of course, will also be linked in the show notes. And that kind of leads us into the next story, and that's the FCC monitoring Humboldt Free Radio Alliance. The FCC searched the internet to build a case against an unlicensed radio broadcast by Humboldt Free Radio Alliance in Arcata. On December 16, 2007, the FCC came to Arcata asking the Alliance to stop broadcasting. Documents that were requested through the Freedom of Information Act about unlicensed or pirate radio in Humboldt County from 2007 to 2008 shows information that the FCC has of the Alliance. The FCC received one complaint in June, documents said, and a second complaint comes about 2 months later. When it asked pirates to stop broadcasting, the FCC sends notices of unlicensed operations. FCC's Western Region Enforcement Bureau of San Francisco mailed notices to the Alliance in January 2008. After the summer complaints and before closing the case, the FCC printed and filed MySpace content to the Alliance's case folder. MySpace, a networking website, the webpage shows a number of people who are DJs printed out by the MySpace webpages and placed them in the case folders, FCC documents said. The FCC photographed and took GPS readings of a house used by the Alliance, said a document entered date December 17th. The FCC documents 13 photographs containing pictures of cars, license plates, a house, and the Alliance's broadcast antenna. Librarian Leslie Stanton of St. Helen, California, received one of the two notices of unlicensed operations by the FCC issued during the case. FCC documents stated that Stanton was contacted because she owned the house. FCC documents refer to Stanton as a homeowner and not an Alliance member. Nearing closure of the case, a FCC document entry in January assesses the case from an old and new internet information. The Alliance MySpace page told the FCC a telephone number. The FCC document said, indicates that the site owner was male, 26 years old, Arcata, California. Googled Humboldt Free Radio Alliance, an internet publication, indie media articles related to our shutdown, stated the FCC documents. Since information indicates station off the air and may be trying to find a new location, we'll close the case based on certified mail receipt. New location will require a new case. Now, I brought that story for you for a couple reasons, and first off, that it just kind of shows that the FCC is now using Google and MySpace to track and gather information of free radio people and free radio stations, like the previous story's MySpace page, Clientele Radio of East Orlando. And this kind of leads us to the next story, and that's from The Media Geek, and he's got an interesting blog post up about the FCC using Google to hunt pirates. Well, I won't read the entire post, but I highly recommend you do. It's mostly in a response of the previous story. He concludes his post with these thoughts. It's also good to see some confirmation of the fact that the agents do use the internet. Ever since I started following the Pirate Radio Underground on the net some 14 years ago, the most common admonition you read, whether on Usenet, list servers, or bulletin boards, is not to post too much identifying information about your station and its broadcast. Of course, the problem with not using the internet to publicize a station is that it makes it more difficult to attract listeners who may be interested. Although I haven't seen the case file, my guess is the FCC only starts its Google searches once it's opened in an investigation. That is, I doubt that the commission spends a lot of time trolling the internet to find pirate radio websites and postings. Though I would believe the agents do pursue pirate-related sites like the Free Radio Network, the commission, after all, is truly a complaint-driven bureaucracy. More likely is that the searches start once the commission has received complaints from listeners of other broadcasters. So that keep that in mind if you want to publicize your unlicensed station online. Publicity comes with a price, so a little caution goes a long way. And that's from the blog post of The Media Geek. Of course, links of all these stories will be on piratesweek.info. And finally, yes, finally, from the Islington Tribune, the ongoing cat and mouse game between Ofscom and Rude FM, R-U-D-E, Rude FM, continues in the UK. Police from the Hillrise Safer Neighborhood teams and officials from communications regulator Ofscom has been hunting the masterminds behind pirate radio station broadcasting illegally from the roofs of Islington's high-rise buildings. Rude FM 88.2, which calls itself London's number one drum and bass station, and True 100.2 FM were taken off air 2 weeks ago after police dismantled broadcasting equipment hidden in chimney flues and secured with car jacks. Less than 24 hours after the equipment was cut, True FM was back on air, but the officers have since tracked it down and ended the broadcast again. This week, Rude FM, unofficial website, ran a message saying, "Stream is down at the moment, but I'm sure they'll be back up once again as the cat and mouse game continues between Ofscom and the pirate stations in the UK."
Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law.
FR and forum postings.
Well, with that, it's time now to take a look around the internet to see some relevant postings on some of the bulletin boards, starting off like we always do with the Free Radio Network, frn.net/vines. In response to last week's post about crystal malfunction by the poet, 807B starts us off this week. He replies that if the cathode is keyed, a bad cathode bypass cap may cause the operating conditions to be different on AM and CW. Possibly a crystal that is a bit less active might not oscillate in one or other conditions. But he does preface that by stating he's just grasping at straws for an explanation. Lex gives us a detailed account of his RFI resolution. He got the local power company to solve the RFI source, which turned out to be due to a malfunctioning air dielectric switch. Neil Wolfish, Smoking One, and Marcel from France all posted in the long ongoing thread on what radios are you using. Marcel included several photos of his rig. Very nice. Now we all know why he can get those faint signals coming in over the Atlantic. Over in the workshop forum, JTA continues the ground screen thread. He says you might also want to try longer rods if you can find them. Use a 10 to 15 foot or even longer if you can. If the deeper you go, the better. And if you can get the rod or the pipe into the water, you know, into the water table, so much the better. Then parallel with another length of pipe, remember, the farther apart than they are long. So if you got a 10 foot pipe, try to space them at least, you know, 10 to 15 feet apart. Bond them all together with a tinned braid, 1 inch or larger if you can find it or afford it, and run your ground wire inside from the most convenient point. Using the largest wire you can come up with and connect all your radio gear on it. You should be able to find some number 8 or even larger wire and some transit clamps from an electrical or building supply house. And hey, don't connect this to your household electrical ground. Bad Andy posts photos from his new Commando RF strip, and as Lex notes, nice clean work. And from the Free Radio Weekly, number 639, dated May 10th, 2008, and edited by Edward Kuzlik, who is retiring on May 16th after 28 years. Hey, congratulations, Ed. You give us all of us working stiffs a little bit of hope that there is finally an end to the drudgery. Stations being heard this last week include Derby Shortwave, KBLU, MAC Radio, Maple Leaf Radio, MAC The Ultraman Show, Radio Appalachia, well, that possibly Radio Appalachia, Radio Jamba International, Red Radio, Psycho Radio, Uncle Bob, The Crystal Ship, and Wolverine Radio.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Okay, you know what that means. It's time for some off-air recordings. I only got two or three for you this week. First up, KBLU, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 9th of May. This is around 0100 SINPO 35343. KBLU playing some bluesy rock and then did an interview with Alan Weiner talking about the access to the airwaves. Take a listen to KBLU.
This is KBLU, rock and blues pirates from the 1980s. Back again for you, Andrew. Do you remember? Check your logbook. This is KBLU, just for you, Andrew.
Well, we have a second recording of KBLU. This is Saturday night again, a little bit later, around 0220, 0240. This is recorded by Lex in North Central Texas. KBLU on 6925 Upper Sideband. Let's take a listen to how Lex was receiving KBLU after Lex got rid of that horrible RFI he's been experiencing. KBLU.
This is BBC K of the Buddha Heads, and you're listening to Belly Up the Blues.
The Belly Up the Blues.
So you stayed in my house for about a year. Ate my food and you drank my beer.
And lastly, we have Radio Jamba International, 6925, also on the 9th of May, 2310 to 2334, SINPO 35443, playing a bunch of music, Insane in the Membrane, Ghost Riders in the Sky, some Jimi Hendrix, and it's good to hear once again on the airwaves, Radio Jamba International.
Jamba International. Radio Jamba International. Radio Jamba International.
Have you sent Bar International?
Radio Jamba International.
My buddy, one of them job makes men. We were out looking for good times, and we just don't fit. We're two tattooed mountains with a little country spin. Some stranger in the corner is staring at us again. Well, I asked him to drop.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Still have a radio. Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Well, it's time now to take a listen to the shortwave propagation forecast coming like it typically does from This Week in Amateur Radio.
Taking a quick look at this week's propagation report reveals that a solar wind stream flowing from a coronal hole is expected to reach Earth on May 5th. The expected planetary A index then for May 3rd through the 11th is 12, 12, 8, 10, 8, 5, 5, 5, and 5 once again. That forecast is from the NOAA, Space Weather Prediction Center, and the U.S. Air Force. For the same period, if we take a look at Geophysical Institute Prague, they're predicting geomagnetic activity of unsettled to active on May 2nd, active on May 3rd, unsettled on the 4th and 6th, quiet to unsettled on the 7th, and back to quiet on May 8th.
Well, that's about going to wrap it up for this week. I have done way too much vocals during this show. I need some more audio clips. Hey, thanks for all the stations who rebroadcast this program, especially WBCQ Area 51, which the Pirates Week can be heard on most Friday evenings on their 5110 transmitter. That's 5110. And, well, that's about it. I'm done. Stick a fork in it. It's done. Hey, and thank you for listening.
Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.